Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
So today the New Testament new resolution that we're looking at is that I will lose weight. And I'm not going to ask anybody to raise your hand if this was your New Year's resolution or not, just because that would be, you know, awful. But I have learned that the best four words that anybody can hear in their day in the Western world are, "Did you lose weight?" And that no matter who you are, when you hear these words, you feel great. No matter what shape you were made, no matter what stage of fitness you're at, "Did you lose weight?" will instantly enhance your day. The only way this backfires is if the person who's hearing it really is having a bad self-image day and turns around and says something like, "Oh, so I was fat to begin with," something. And in that case, just leave the room. That you don't have any, there's no way to recover from that. But according to the studies of the academic powerhouse Lancaster Community College, in a 2010 study surveyed the number of, they were looking at how many Americans actually make New Year's resolutions and how many people actually keep them. And this is where I keep bringing up the number that most people keep their resolution for 3 days on average. So very hard commitments made around January 1st. And the number one resolution that people make is that I will lose some weight. Whether this means they're going to diet or whether this means they're going to join a gym and they're going to exercise from now on, the number one resolution that people make is that I will lose weight. And this is usually associated with, I want to look better. I want to feel better, you know, in some respect. And I want to say that any conversation about losing weight in this room, and I would say in this church, and I'll protect this statement, is that it is geared around a healthy lifestyle. There is no image-based losing weight that I'm going to talk about in this, because beautiful is made by God. Beautiful does not mean you look like Gisele Bündchen or Tom Brady or those people we call beautiful. That is not what beauty by God means. All people are made with different sizes, different shapes, different heights, different lengths, different all sorts of things, and it is God who decides what is beautiful, is what is inside, is determines what is beauty. And so when we talk about losing weight, we're not talking about we all need to be supermodels walking around here strutting our stuff, and that's what God wants. We're talking about weight loss in terms of what might be healthy. But even when we get into the scripture, we're not even going to be talking about weight loss in terms of a physical standpoint very much at all. But I do want to tell you about the process of weight loss, because this is one of those things that one of the other New Year's resolutions that we won't actually talk about but will be infused in everything is that I want to be more involved in church, or I want to be religious, or I want to be spiritual, or I want to go to worship more often. This is the New Year's resolution people make. And like I said, most New Year's resolutions are broken after 3 days. That maybe they come to church once in the beginning of the new year, but it's entered into in this emotional haphazard way, kind of like the same way that I'm going to go spend $110 a month on a gym membership because I promise I'm going to lose weight this year, only to let it sit there for the remaining 362 days of the year, because it's entered into emotionally. It's not thought through. It's not the how and why of how things happen. So when people go to lose weight, this is the way the body works is that it always seeks to be in homeostasis. Homeostasis is a fancy word for a balanced existence. It wants to operate at the same level. All the skin cells, the liver cells, all the cells in the body want to have the same amount or operate at the same efficiency at all times. That's why when you go run and your heart rate increases so that it can deliver nutrients and blood cells and oxygen faster to the body than it normally would consume. So when you go to, the opposite of losing weight, building muscle or getting in shape, involves actually breaking down. And so does losing weight. It involves breaking down your body of some respect. And so when you build muscle, what you're doing is you are destroying yourself and then allowing yourself to be built up again. You go in there, if you lift 25 pounds on curls or 5 pounds, or if you're one of those hosses who can do 80 pounds on curls, then I don't want to work out next to you because you'll make me look bad. But what you're doing is you are using up all the nutrients and all the flexibility of those muscle cells only for your body to then replace those with the nutrients to build up. And it's kind of like if you've ever broken a bone. I broke my collarbone when I was a junior in high school. And when your collarbone or when other bones heal, you can start to feel these, you know, strange knots where they heal it at a break point, and because your body decides it needs to be tougher, essentially. And so when you break down your body evolves, evolutionary almost, to provide a tougher existence. Well, the same thing happens in a way on the opposite spectrum, that when we're working out, when we're not taking in as many nutrients, our body breaks down and starts to build up a tougher environment. On the opposite spectrum, most of us engage in excess. I think it was 70% of Americans are obese or overweight or different. You know, whenever we go out to eat, we probably eat about, you know, 3/4 of a plate more than we actually need to survive. And so what happens in that is when we eat food, it goes in, and the necessary nutrients and necessary elements, carbohydrates, fats, and everything, go through our system, and the body uses what it needs to provide homeostasis. So if you're not working out, it provides a baseline level of life support and functioning of all the organs. When all of the other things, it just assumes that if you are making the choice to eat more, it's kind of like the grizzly bear in the winter, that the grizzly bear will just consume everything in sight before it hibernates for the winter because it knows instinctually it needs to consume enough to survive over the winter and stay warm over the winter. Our bodies are wired in the exact same way, that if we choose to eat excess or we choose to take in more excess, now there's some genetics involved as well, but if we choose to eat excess or choose to eat the wrong or too much of one of those nutrients, our body assumes that we're storing up for a crucial time. And so it starts to put on what we call beer belly or thunder thighs or, you know, muffin top or whatever you want to call it, overweight, you know, some extent. I work out. I'm considered overweight by the medical charts. And so I'm working on that. But the problem of this, you know, we talk about beautiful. You can absolutely be beautiful and over the medical weight by every measure, according to God. The problem with this, though, is that when we start storing things for the winter and we start building up these store supplies, what happens is that several different things that happen to our health. One, that has to go somewhere. And so it starts to squeeze on internal organs and squeeze on arteries and bloodlines, creating less flow of blood, less delivering of nutrients for those. It starts to expand your body a little bit, so it creates more skin cells, which need more nutrients, so then you eat more. It's a cyclical fashion. It can cause diabetes by covering up the keyholes where the glucose goes to the skin cells. It has been linked to different kind of cancers as well. And so there's a health factor in this that we need to know about. For weight loss, why people want to lose weight is strictly should be for a healthy reason because of the impact that those excess materials can have on your body, and then the excess materials have on your body, and then cause lower energy levels, lower efficiency, lower things, lower quality of life in there. However, there's the option of breaking yourself down. There's the option of getting better. There's the option of healing yourself. Your body is an amazing way of bouncing back from all the choices that we've made over the years, and it involves actually breaking ourselves down. And so knowing that, let's read today's scripture. This is Matthew chapter 10, 1 through 14. Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. Now, this is their mission. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. That's the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. Take no gold, no silver, no copper in your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals. And that should be read, don't take a bag for your journey or two tunics or two sandals, or a staff. For laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who in it is worthy and stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Now, how many of y'all, if I were to go in here and say, after this Sunday, after you have been just radically inspired by the gospel of Jesus Christ, whatever you have on, whatever you have in your car, perhaps you don't even need your car, whatever you have on at this moment, that's what you're going to go. And you're going to go out to McKinney and Frisco and Anna and all the different places around this area, and you are going to proclaim the good news to whatever door you can find. And you don't get your winter jacket, You don't get your, you know, concealed handgun for protection or anything. You don't get extra rations of food that you might need, that you might, you know, get along the, that you might feel hungry along the way. You don't even get a water bottle, for heaven's sake. What you get is the promise and grace of Jesus Christ and the hospitality of strangers that you're going to. Now, how many of you are signing up for that mission immediately after this service? I'm not, yeah. I have a hard time with it too, because I have a wonderful house. I've got all sorts of luxuries in my house. I've got a pickup truck that I love to drive. We've got different things that I think I need in that. And what Jesus is asking here is for the disciples to break themselves down into a new homeostasis. That when the body starts to work out, and that's why these crash diets, crash fads are not a good thing. Christian radio this morning on the way in, literally took me 15 to 20 minutes to drive in. It took me 12 today. I heard 4 different crash fad diets on Christian radio coming in. And why they're not good is because they seek to create this really quick results where your body instantly makes up, but then it doesn't build up a gradual residual lifestyle effect. Whereas constant dieting and constant working out, while it seems slow and while it seems arduous, your body starts adjusting and it starts building a tougher self and it starts building a way to where I only need this amount of food or I need this amount of exercise to keep my body in homeostasis. And Jesus is asking, he's asking for quite a sudden thing, but remember, the disciples have been with him for a little while now in Matthew. They've been called at the very beginning of Matthew, and this is around, this is in chapter 10. So they've been around, you can't judge it in chapters, but they've been around him a few months, maybe a year or so, to where they have gotten used to Jesus' lifestyle. But yet, I would imagine that some of these people still think they're fishermen. And some of these people still think they're tax collectors. And some of these people still think they're net menders. And some of them still believe that they are the son of Zebedee or, you know, the son of their father. They still don't realize that they are the servants and workers of Jesus Christ. And so in this moment, Jesus is sitting there saying, lose some weight. Create a new paradigm. Help you learn inside a new paradigm to where you will be at homeostasis. You will be at rest at a set point of my lifestyle and my gospel rather than what you consider. And this takes some breaking down. Because what are the things that Jesus tells him to leave behind? And let me know if you feel comfortable leaving these things behind. All the money you have. Take no gold, no silver, no copper, anything that you can exchange for a good or a service that would make yourselves more comfortable, don't take it. You don't need it. A staff. A staff would be used as a walking support. It's a long journey on some of these trips. It also is used for protection from wolves and other things that could potentially provide dangerous. 2 tunics. One, they would use a tunic sometimes, the extra tunic to wrap around from a dust storm. The other tunic might be, heck, if I spilled coffee on myself while I'm on my journey, I don't want to put that bad foot forward if someone sees that I'm a wreck. But no, take one tunic. Who you are is who I want these people to see. Take no 2 sandals. Don't take extra. Travel light, be mobile, be able to go from situation to situation without your overpacking. I don't know about you, but when we go away for a weekend trip, I usually pack about 8 extra shirts more than I need because I either dressed on mood or I may need a snow jacket in Florida because you never know, it could snow in Florida. You never know what I might need to survive and be comfortable in this. And the whole idea is that if we change our paradigm to really trust in Jesus Christ, if we lose all the weight, all the expectations, all the paradigm of the world and rely only upon what Jesus teaches us and tells us to do, that God will provide. And the idea is that God will provide through these people who are at peace with the gospel, that if you walk into a house, that those people will provide nurture, they will provide shelter for you as a missionary. And this crazy idea of community, this crazy idea that I don't have to have everything myself, that I don't have to rely upon everything myself. I don't have to build up a storehouse of goods and a silo full of grain and you know, everything that I can survive on throughout the nuclear holocaust. I have a community that is gonna support me, that is gonna love me. And it's all based upon the peace and love that's found in Jesus Christ. And so what are some things we can do in terms of losing weight? We know that constant exercise and constant diet is the healthiest way to go forward in terms of losing bodily weight. And that's something that people are trying to do to maintain their health. But what can we break down? If we're trying to build up spiritual muscle, if we're trying to be spiritually fit, there's something to where, you know, we can always say, well, we need to pray more and we need to read the Bible more. We can do those things that are more. But have you ever looked at, I don't know if you've ever been to the, how many of you actually, you know, go to the gym on a regular basis, but there's always some guy who looks like he should weigh about 385 pounds of just pure fat. And he's lifting about 6,000 pounds on the leg press. And what happens is that they don't ever decrease anything. They don't ever break themselves down. They simply go in and they build up and they add up. And so their health level is actually still the same. They just have some muscle to kind of combat the fat that is present in there. And so to maintain the optimal fitness, you have to break down. You have to lose some stuff. You have to lose some weight about what you're going forward with. Well, the number one thing I think Jesus tells us to lose in here is the expectation of how to impress people. That the entire mission of this 12 being sent out there is to showcase the original 12. The 12 disciples is generally thought across the board by biblical scholars to be picked for the 12 tribes of Israel, which was supposed to represent the purity of life with God. That it was a covenant with God, a understanding that we rely solely upon God, we listen solely upon God. And so these 12 are going out to rely solely upon God, to follow God's law and no other law above God's law. Now, if you're making a sales pitch, what kind of shoes do you wear? You wear your best. If you're wearing a, say, if you're going to convince somebody that they should be your friend or that you're, you know, trying to gain a friendship, do you wear your ratty clothes like your sweats or do you wear your best clothes? Do you wear your best clothes? When you're going out to be the best athlete on the sports field, do you wear yesterday's cleats or do you wear the brand new cleats that LeBron James or that you know, Derek Jeter or whoever sponsors so that you can be the fastest runner? You always wear your best for the situation at hand. And even when people are trying, even I do the same thing. When I'm meeting people for coffee during the week or lunch after church or whatever, and they are new to the church and I'm, you know, trying to get to know them is my primary goal. But underlying in all of this, I'm trying to convince them that yes, this worship service and this church is a great place to experience the love of God. How many times do you think I stay in the t-shirt that I wear during the weekday? Or how many times do you think I stay in those rubby old clothes that I love to wear? No, I usually meet somebody wearing my best. And it may not be a suit and tie, but I always try and look fashionable of some sort. Now, am I selling them on who I am? Am I selling them upon the peace of Jesus Christ? Or am I selling them upon, hey, they look fun. Hey, they look good. I can't count the number of times that people have said something about, yeah, the worship service is fun in here. And are we selling them on fun or are we selling them about the peace and the love of God that you experience in this place? And Jesus is telling the disciples, don't take anything that's gonna be flashy. The only thing they need to be sold on is your experience with Jesus Christ. That is enough. Because to say otherwise is to doubt the power of the gospel. To doubt the power of redemption and good news. And so change your expectation of what a Christian ought to look like. Change your expectation of what sells people on the gospel of Christ. And I think that's the main thing that Jesus tells us about. The other one about it is what do you need to live? What do you need to follow in the footsteps of Jesus? I'm certainly not prepared to tell you to take Maslow's hierarchy of needs and just strike out shelter, food, water, and everything else that is creates a sustainable life. I'm certainly all about you having your house and everything that keeps you safe. But Jenna Hatmaker is a brilliant Christian author, and she writes this book called Seven. My wife and the Lyft group on Thursday morning is about to start studying this, so I've been really intrigued by this. And one of her, each chapter you're supposed to go through a month, and so like one of them is only eat seven foods for a month. Only, and one of them is like you can only wear seven outfits or articles of clothing for an entire month. And it's to get us to the idea of enough. The idea of non-excessive, the idea of what can I survive on? What has God blessed me with enough? And to realize just how much extra we have. So one of the ideas I suggest from this book is that she says, give away seven things in your house every day for a month. Maybe try it for a week, but seven things in your house. Now, when I first heard about this, I was thinking, well, I should probably give away my TV. I should give away the things that are so important to me because those are the things that take me away from God. Well, that's not the idea. The idea is how much stuff do we feel like we need in our lives that is so unimportant, so unused, so unvaluable, that it is just dead weight that prevents us from being mobile. And so try that just an example of go through your house and find seven things each day this week and give them away. Get rid of them. clear out your house. And if it really works for you, try it for a month. I had some other friends who did something similar to this. They're in Albuquerque, and they gave away one thing every day of the year. So by the time they were done, each of them had given away 365 things between themselves. And you know what? They still feel like they have too much in their lives. And the idea around this is that no matter how many assets we gain, no matter what kind of things we gain for our lives, all of those assets breed other needs. We had a pool growing up in our backyard. Any of you who have ever bought a pool or a boat or a very expensive vehicle know how much it takes to maintain a pool or a boat or a very expensive vehicle. There's a lot of man hours that go into cleaning a pool. There's a lot of things that can go wrong. There's a lot of things that a boat is a very awesome thing, and it sucks up money just like crazy. And so while these are awesome things, while there are other things in our lives that are awesome things, the more we gain that we feel like we need to impress people or to have a great life, the more weight we end up taking on into our lives, whether it's financially or whether it's emotionally or time-wise, and we end up piled on our shoulders of all these things that have nothing to do with our mission that Jesus sends us out to be about. And so I would encourage you, not only reframe what you need to be a successful Christian, what you need to be a Christian in your life, or how that looks, but reframe what it takes to be a successful person. Because all of the expectations of the American dream, I just don't feel are like they're God's dream for us. All the individuality, all the things that I need to have so that I can have them. I don't need to go to the library to check out books. I don't need to go to the movie store because I'll just buy the movie. All of those things in our lives that we feel we need to be enough. Let's lose some weight. Let's become more mobile people, more giving people, more serving people that are all about the one goal of making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.